This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Let's do it.
Hey! There's some hardware on the table.
We're not going to apologize for winning.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
A Marconi Award from NAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, for the Network Syndicated Personality of the Year for yours truly, and I thank all of you.
Earlier on the show, Browns defensive end Myles Garrett. Coming up, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Tom Pelissero making his way to our studio to tell us everything that he normally would tell us on Zoom. How does that sound? He's going to be here in person here in this hour. Myles Garrett slated to Zoom in any minute. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We've just been chit-chatting all day about the Thursday night football game, Bills and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and what in the world did happen with James Harden when he showed up to try and get on a plane in Milwaukee. Which wound up beating the Philadelphia 76ers last night. Damian Lillard with a very nice game in his first contest as a Buck. We did what's more likely, my top five most intriguing matchups. The Browns and the Seahawks are on that list for week number eight. Myles Garrett slated to join us in a second. 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the program. Let's sneak in a phone call before we get to Myles. Let us go to Rob in Charlotte, North Carolina. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Rich. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
Now, I have listened to you for years pound the table for the fumble through the end zone play.
Yes, sir.
And on Sunday, you were proven wrong.
Huh.
Defensive player knocked the ball out at the one-inch yard line. You're saying he shouldn't benefit from that action?
Meaning what? Like, but had he knocked the ball out – on the half-yard line. Had he knocked the ball out of the half-yard line, Rob, and it had somehow rolled out of bounds, you know, and in front of the pylon, then the ball would have stayed with Atlanta, you know? Then it
correct.
Would have still been Desmond
but
Ritter's.
The rules for between the goal lines and outside the goal lines are different. At the same point,
yeah.
It happened at the other end of the field. Is it not going to be a safety now because you fumble through your own end zone?
No, continuity
of the rules.
I just think it's too arbitrary to want to award to a defense that had been giving up all those yards the entire time. So, but I appreciate the call, Rob, because I've got a defensive player of the year candidate of note, an MVP candidate on the Zoom. I am so happy to have this man on the program. I've enjoyed watching him play this year, to say the least. I've had Cleveland Browns fans. There he is, the man of the hour, Myles Garrett. How are you, Myles?
I'm doing wonderful. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. You know, I just, you know what, you know how I prepared for this interview, Myles?
How so?
I crossover dribbled for the last 3 minutes just to try and get ready for this thing. You know, I've got that move.
It's a good warm-up, especially in the wrestling.
Yeah. Now, has anybody looked at you on the other side of the line of scrimmage and saying, what are you doing when you're doing that? Have you elicited a response from anybody?
No responses yet. I might draw one here this year. Maybe this game, next game.
What are you, so, like, where did this come from? For you, where did this idea come from for you?
Just the hooping roots. I've always done it in practice and had fun doing it. Just wanted to, you know, finally bring that stuff to the real deal, the real field
in the game, in an actual game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. And so you just thought, I'm going to try it. And does that actually get you in a rhythm? Does it actually work for you, Moz?
It does. I feel like it. He kind of messes with their head, you know, going into it. So they figure they don't know where the hell I'm going, if I'm actually, you know, coming. So
right.
And then I add a jab step to it, or add multiple, or, and then, you know, add the variable, you know, just going through the guy's chest, or just, you know, I know they're worried.
I'd imagine.
Well, again, and man, do I have so many questions to ask you. I imagine, was the Tennessee game the first time you had two guys travel with you on the line of scrimmage pre-snap ever in your life, Myles?
Yeah, that's the first time. I've had, you know, one guy travel with me, and then he doubled me with the tackle. I've never had two guys who just were designated to follow me wherever I went. I've never seen that personally or with any other player.
That is correct. And so, me too. At one point in the game, at what point did you realize two Tennessee Titans were traveling with you whenever you motioned on your side of the line of scrimmage?
Well, that play that they got kind of circulated, that was a play I kind of realized that I was just moving around. And I think we came out the huddle and they were like, all right, you're going to end up over there with Z, but kind of delay it. So I kind of started on the right side. And then, you know, once they had gotten the formation, I started making my way over to the Darius' side and saw him following. So I was like, I think they might be locked in on me. So I go back. I was like, I still got some time, but it's about 15 seconds left. I go back and they don't start running back over. I was like, oh, we can do this all day because, you know, y'all have to get set. So I started going back and clock's ticking and gets down to 2-1-0. And they have to call a timeout. So that's definitely a fun memory, knowing that those guys were trying to, you know, make sure that they were on me. They didn't think about, you know, we have to both be set. I know they just got the message from coach. So you're doubling him. They don't care what happens.
Right. Because normally the pre-snap penalty you might elicit is causing a tackle to jump to make sure that they get the jump on you. But this is maybe the first time the pre-snap penalty was a motion penalty that you caused just because you were motioning yourself laterally. I've never seen anything like that in my entire time. That's a first.
That's it. We're trying to, you know, break new ground, you know, see what we can make offers do to respect me.
Do you feel that you're not respected, Miles?
Definitely feel respected, but should always earn some more and always elicit more fear.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of that, do you feel that your game is better than ever? Do you feel that things have stepped up? You have stepped it up this year, that you are on a different level than previous years right now, Miles?
I definitely feel at the top of my game. I feel like I've been entering and kind of reaching my prime if I'm not in it.
Okay.
And feel like, you know, surrounded by, you know, like-minded individuals on the defense with coaches and players, allow me to flourish and vice versa. So I think it's a combination of both me, you know, really hitting my stride and the guys that I'm with really being passionate about making each other better.
No, I know I might be entering territory that I shouldn't, but why were you smiling and laughing while I was asking that question? What was going through your mind there? What's that? What's that about?
I had a teammate behind the camera who was nodding his head.
In agreement that you have stepped your game up. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Okay, very good. And so what has Jim Schwartz brought to the equation that may have aided in that process for you, Miles?
Just being, you know, very cooperative, you know, bringing that swagger, that passion to the game, you know, someone who's locked in completely, knows how to get, you know, his guys going and focus on the task at hand. You know, not being present in that moment, and playing for each other, those things that he always preaches, you know, just on a personal level with him and I, just knowing that I play, I'm a very instinctual player. I you know, go with how I feel as far as, you know, run pass and how to attack those things. So I'm definitely going to play, you know, throughout the scheme. But, you know, if I see something and, you know, we talked about it, but, you know, this the one look I've seen and I'm going to hit it from here. And, you know, the card says here, and I know that linebacker, he sees me go, he's going to fill. He's like, no, you take your shot. No, you come down here, you play 100%. No, we'll make you right. And, you know, having a coach that's just, you know, being able to level with me like that, and, you know, guys behind me that are able to make me right if things go wrong, I couldn't ask for a better situation. It just allows me to fly around at, you know, a high speed and make plays.
Have you not had that in previous times? That sort of
not at that level. I didn't have those liberties. No, I kind of had some in pass at certain times, mm-hmm. but no, not the way it is now. Where it's like running pass. No, you are able to go make plays, and, you know, we'll make you right. It's been different this year.
Miles Garrett here on the Rich Eisen Show, and it looks different. It feels different. Do you feel as obviously quarterback situation there with Deshaun being hurt and PJ Walker obviously doing a terrific job when he's gotten in there, that you and your defensive mates feel that it's your job to win the day, to make sure whatever happens on offense is good enough, Miles?
Yeah. I mean, whatever they put up, it has to be good enough. And I think that's exciting for not only for me, but for us as a defense, you know, put the team on our backs and the opportunity where, you know, they might be able to put up 38-39 like last game, or, you know, we might get 17-20. And even if we put up 7 or 10, you know, who says other opposing offense has to score? You know, we can get after guys and we've shown the ability to lock down, you know, team for 60 minutes. So that's kind of the thrill of it. You know, how great do we want to be?
And in terms of how great do you want to be, who else do you put in your category in the NFL? Like, who else at your position do you think is in your category, Miles, that you look at in their game? Is
there? I'll review it as well. You know, I try to kind of say there's different situations for different people. I think there are a lot of athletic freaks. There are very smart players who make the most out of their situation, and some who, you know, flourish and where they're at. And, you know, you see, you know, guys who are just absolutely outstanding. And, you know, you can name, you know, more than a few, but you also have guys who kind of don't get the pub and the love that they should. You know, Seattle has one with Mafe. You got Brian Burns, who I believe, you know, needs more love. You know, Chubb, who got paid but doesn't get the respect that he should. Mm-hmm. But you have the common guys, you know, the TJs, the Knicks, you have the Micahs, but, you know, Judon still have a rusher, Shaq Barrett still have a rusher, Vaughn is still getting healthy. You know, there's a lot of guys who on any given day can give you, you know, big numbers across the stat sheet. It's about, you know, being put in that position and, you know, making the most out of those opportunities. You know, I want to say that I'm the best that I can be, mm-hmm. but as far as where, you know, I rank myself, I don't think ranking yourself a lot, that puts you in a box. You know, you want to break free of any molds that anyone puts you in.
So what do you say to folks who consider the MVP a quarterback award? What do you say to that, Miles?
I think it's a load of crap. And I think the last time someone should have won an MVP would be J.J. Watt with the outstanding year I think he had in 2012. Mm-hmm. I think that was easily his award. And we have an Offensive Player of the Year award. So, you know, if you want to get the best offensive player an award, you know, we have that handled. But the best player, the one who's most respected, most feared, and makes the most game-changing plays shouldn't just go to a quarterback or a wide receiver. You know, it should go to the guy who's been game planned all week, who has to respect who you're avoiding. And, you know, when that time comes, he makes that play. That's positionless.
And so as for the quarterback there and Deshaun Watson, the conversation had nationally in many ways is that he and the Browns might have, you know, some issues with one another, and he doesn't really want to play. And you've heard that, I'm sure. What do you see from Deshaun and on that front about him being out there, Miles?
I've only heard that from, a few outside media that I get through, I guess, you know, friends and family. And that's not any kind of vibe that we get from him. That's not the reaction that I have at all from, you know, when I, you know, sitting down and talking to him or we're on the field. You know, the guys are raring to go, and it'd be wrong of me to ask him to come back as, you know, less than, you know, the player that we've known him as, a playmaker on all levels, whether, you know, in the pocket, scrambling, you know, throwing off the run, or, you know, throwing the deep ball. You know, the guy can do it all. So to not allow him to be at his best or trying to make him come back sooner than, you know, what he needs to recover and help, you know, help us win, that'd be wrong of us as not only players but as fans. You know, we have to be, you know, have some understanding of, you know, the situation and know that this guy really wants to win. That's why he's here.
Miles Garrett, a few minutes left with Miles. I just want to hit on you a little bit before I let you go on the day. there in Cleveland. So you are a part owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers now, Miles. Is that did I read that correctly? Yeah?
Yes, sir. What is minority stake?
Okay, yeah. So what does Miles Garrett, minority owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers, do? Like what are you like in management, Miles? What do you got for me on that front? What do you have for me?
I think my managerial roles will be a little bit of back seat. It's okay. More the ambassadorship that I take pride in, being able to an ambassador not only for football but for basketball and the Cavs, being able to support the Cavs, worldwide, going to different games or showing up to games, and sometimes doing some of the events they have during the game, or controlling the music, debuting some of their jerseys, maybe some different events that I can be a part of to help make the people aware and reach a different platform or people that they would normally reach.
What about going to practice and showing some guys how to body up, anything like that? You want to be part of that, Miles? What do you think?
Hey, if they want to bring me in to show them how to box up, rebound,
okay. Sure.
Attack the rim, mm-hmm. I can do all that. They might just have to wait a little bit.
What about a 10-day in March? A 10-day contract, Miles? What about a 10-day? What do you think?
Me and Dan have been talking about this a little bit.
That's super necessary.
Oh, is that right? Is that right?
We've been talking about this a little bit. See if we can make something work. But I will never stop loving ball. And if we can make a push, why not?
What about a double double? You could do a double double, right? I get a double double out of you, Miles. At least
10 and 10. You definitely get a double. I'll attack the board. I'll be there.
Okay,
couple block shots.
I figured. And then what are your Halloween plans? We saw Vecna from Stranger Things. We've seen the Grim Reaper. I believe those are your last two Halloween costumes. What do we have on tap for Tuesday, Miles?
Oh, man, I don't want to give it away.
Okay.
But I'll give you a little hint.
Okay.
I think there's 23 technically weeks in the entire NFL season.
Mm-hmm.
And the number 23 is very synonymous with the theme of this movie, Monster.
Okay. Okay. Anybody in the Rich Eisen Show studio, can you pick up on that? Because I'm 23 for this Monster. That's where you're going. Well, your number is 95. So, all right. But movie, is it not, it's 23, I think of Jordan, obviously. Yeah. That's the first thing I think of. But no, you're laughing to them. I'm way off. I'm not even warm.
You didn't think of LeBron?
Okay. LeBron. No, I'm 54. You know what I mean? I think of Jordan.
Right.
You know, that's my era. Okay, Miles. Interesting. Nice little and is your front lawn already decked out with the tombstones of quarterbacks that you've sacked? Do we have that already? Is that already out there?
Not tombstones this time, but there are definitely quarterbacks hanging up in my yard.
Okay. Okay. What do you mean? Just from all different parts from the house? What do we got from the eaves of your house? What do you got hanging up? What do you mean?
From different. There's some kind of strung up on the walls in my garage,
right.
Like a house of pain, as you were saying, and some kind of strung up like scarecrows.
Okay. All right.
That's another hint
of all quarter. Okay, you're dropping hints, and these are all of quarterbacks that you've sacked, is what you're saying, that you've gotten, you've bagged.
Sacked going to this season.
I like it. I like it. Well, all right, put it up anyway, because we got to these two tombstones for you. It's the Colts offensive lineman you leaped without touching, and then the kicker you blocked this past weekend, Quentin Nelson and Matt Gay, tombstones for you, Miles. We had that prepared for this conversation. What do you think?
Man, I love it. I appreciate it.
Listen,
that's sweet.
Well, I got to tell
that's
you,
sweet.
I've never seen anything like it in my entire life. So as you pointed out, somebody asked you that question of how are you able to do it and nobody else is. And then your answer was great, Miles. I got to be honest with you.
Thank you.
It was good. Well,
answer from the heart.
You're a one of one. Miles, thank you for the call. Thank you for the Zoom. I really appreciate it. I love watching you ball out. Before I let you go, your message for Browns fans from here on out is what? Miles, what do you have?
Thank you.
Expect a lot, and we'll deliver more.
Miles, you take care of yourself. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
You as well. Thank you.
You got it. That's Miles Garrett getting set to go add Geno Smith to his front yard, I guess, or his, or his garage right here on the Rich Eisen Show. That is right there a possible most valuable player in the National Football League. That was fun. That went about as well as I had hoped.
That was great.
Because I just have so many questions for him.
He heard you and was laughing.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Which is what? Adding Geno Smith to his garage wall. Okay, very good. It's true.
If
Geno Smith said, oh my God, for Aaron Donald, what's he going to say of Miles Garrett?
He's going to evoke the same emotion.
Oh my God. Remember that mic picked up?
I'm just disappointed you didn't ask him about the vibranium because his body's filled with it.
Yeah, maybe he goes. So who could that be? 23?
I'm wondering if it's a Monsters, Inc. Costume. Remember that old Disney?
What does 23 have to do with it?
It was a code in the movie that had something to do with interaction with humans.
Oh, okay.
I looked it up.
Did you Google 23 and Monster?
Yeah, I did.
Did a picture of Jordan come up?
Yeah. No.
All right, let's take a break. Tom Pelissero is here. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's get some information in person next. Rich Eisen here. Let's talk about DoorDash because we talk about it in our household all the time. Susie and I always go to DoorDash whenever we need some terrific food from our favorite restaurants with timely, responsible, professional drivers delivering the food right to our house in a timely fashion. We use DoorDash, and now DoorDash is made even better with DashPass. DashPass is the one membership you need to get the most out of DoorDash in everyday life because DashPass members get $0 delivery fees and up to 10% off eligible DoorDash orders, including groceries, drinks, personal care items, and more. DashPass makes delivery even more worth it, helping members save more than $35 per month on average. So put a little joy back into your schedule. We are in our house. We've signed up for DashPass. You should do so today and use code RICHEISEN and get 50% off up to a $10 value when you spend $12 or more after signing up for DashPass. Subject to change, terms apply. That's 50% off up to a $10 value when you spend $12 or more after signing up for DashPass with code RICHEISEN. Subject to change, terms apply. Sign up for more. Become a DashPass member today.
Susie Schuster and Amy Trask present offbeat conversations and expert sports commentary as they ask, what the football?
When my family found out how long it took me to figure out why Charles Woodson named his wine Intercept, they said, there's a reason that you had trouble in school.
You know, not everyone knows, you know, when they think of a bottle of Intercept, they don't know that I play football.
Well, what I've learned is a smooth defensive back can make smooth wine.
That's what it's all about.
What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. The podcast is available Tuesdays, wherever you listen.
Back here on our Roku channel feed. Bad form, man. Bad form. Guy sits down and you immediately ask him about your fantasy
That's
plays.
That's not true. I waited 3 minutes.
Tom Pelissero.
Before he sat down.
How many times that happened in your life? Where friends of yours, anybody, colleagues of yours.
Every day.
Like, hey man, just literally give me what's up. Like, about their fantasy team.
I would say, and listen, I appreciate the passion, right? These are the people who pay our bills.
I was going to text him last night, but I'm like,
want the engagement.
Brockman pays none of your bills.
Right, so this is different.
What bills does Chris Brockman pay in the Pelissero household?
When I meet people for the first time, you're at a party and you're just trying to blend into the woodwork, and then immediately it's, so I got George Pickens this week or Zay Flowers. Yeah. Like, what do you think? I'm just like,
oh, they ask you for that.
They get into that. And I always say is I haven't won a fantasy league in 20 years.
What?
And it's because I perpetually draft people a year too soon. Because there's always that like bit of inside information.
Look at this guy.
Like, I told this story recently when Travis Kelce was a rookie. I talked to a scout who had watched him in the preseason and was like, oh, this Kelce, like he's the next Gronk in Kansas City. I was like, you know, who? I don't know who this guy is.
Right.
So I draft him. Does nothing his rookie year, drop him in my, you know, dynasty cap keeper league, and then the next year he becomes one of the greatest tight ends of all time.
Right.
That's the information I have. Not really helpful in fantasy football.
But different though.
But you were right.
He's asking like information on injuries.
Injury updates.
Like
you
must get that all the time.
I think we actually, Rich, we have training videos to tell us not to talk to people like him about this information.
Right. That's right. You don't want him to get in trouble. I don't want him to get in trouble.
I could have texted him last night, but I waited until he got in.
So he literally was right here, like 30 seconds ago, and you're like, all right, what do you want, Josh Palmer?
The ambush should be more effective that way.
Kenneth Walker. I got both.
And he's like, it's West Coast. We don't know. So leave him alone.
Well, what is Kenneth Walker doing? Leave him alone. What are we doing? Calf? Come
by the way.
Where'd that
come from? Seahawks a lot of times, sick guys early in the week. So let's see what, if anything, he's able to do today. Cavs worry me, though.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. And look who's just stopped by to tell Chris Brockman about his fantasy team and whether his star players are injured or not.
Well, I got an issue because I sat Gabe Davis last night because
Network.
I got the stack with Herbert and Josh Palmer.
This
you know
guy.
What I mean?
All right.
Tom, you get
good
it.
Good to see you, Tom. In person.
Welcome, boys.
Hey,
good to see you guys.
Tommy B.
It's great to be here. It's interesting sitting on the other side of this. I've sat there.
Yeah,
you've been kind enough to have me on that side.
Yeah.
Over here, I feel like there's somehow more pressure.
Have you never sat here?
This chair is definitely lower. You are a solid foot above me.
Hey, everybody back off. You should go to Pico Boulevard.
Pico? I thought we were down in Negundo. You know what I mean?
Not that high. Not that high up, am I?
I'm looking up.
No, I don't know.
I'm below the desk line.
That is true.
Sinking in here,
Tom.
Sinking down.
You know, your posture's not my problem. All right.
I'll do more Pilates.
What's going on in the trade deadline? Anything cooking? Like, when do you think it's going to heat up? Monday? Because it depends on what happens Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
There's some of that. I think that one of the interesting things, we might have talked about this last week, is so many teams that thought they were going to be good had bad records. Then last weekend, a lot of those teams all won.
Yes.
So if you're the Patriots, you're the Giants, you're the Vikings, you're the Broncos, you all of a sudden are like, okay, wait, like what sort of spot are we in? And there's teams that are going to be both buyers and sellers at the deadline. Because one of the things you have to take into account is there's teams that don't have a lot of draft capital right now. There might be teams that are right up against the salary cap. That doesn't mean that they can't do anything. It might mean that they have to make multiple moves. You might have to, almost like NBA style, offload something to bring something in. So there's going to be a lot of things that are going on in the coming days here. I would tell you the question you just asked me is the question a lot of GMs have been asking too, which is anything actually getting done? Because there's a ton of calls. There's some interesting names that are available. Are these deals actually going to get done by the start of next week? We'll find out. But I wouldn't anticipate there's something coming prior to the games.
All right, give me a team who is on that sort of razor's edge. They lose, they become sellers on Sunday.
I think there's still some of those teams. I think Tennessee already is in sell mode to a certain degree, obviously trading Kevin Byard. He probably wasn't in their plans beyond this season anyway.
Right.
So you bring in, you get a couple of picks. Again, they were another team that didn't have a lot of picks. You bring in a player who maybe can help you in Terrell Edmonds. So we'll see how that ends up working out. I think that, you know, the Broncos are in a spot where they kind of know what they are. They obviously had a lot of picks out the door for both Russell Wilson and Sean Payton. They'd like to get draft capital back.
And they're taking on the Chiefs. So let's just say that's a tough hill.
But if you beat the Chiefs, are you going and trading somebody? If somehow the Broncos beat the Chiefs, you would feel differently about potentially trading someone away. I would tell you this, as much as there's been a lot of speculation about the Broncos and, you know, making a lot of trades and everybody being available, I'll tell you, the prices are still high enough that nothing is imminent at this point. Doesn't mean that nothing gets done, but this is not a fire sale. And I think fire sale, I think anybody you want for a late round pick swap, this is not that. It's going to take real picks for them to trade away guys who potentially could be part of their core in the future.
What about the Giants and Saquon? That seems to me a stretch.
Giants have told Saquon that they're not trading him. I don't think John Mara in any universe wants to trade Saquon Barkley. He envisions him being a core part of the future. You got to remember, they were trying to extend him back in last fall. They tried to extend him in March. They tried to extend him again at the deadline. And we really were thinking, at the deadline that something might get done based on where the numbers were.
The deadline you're referring to, not a trade
July 17th deadline, that something potentially would get done on the contract.
Franchise players.
So this is a player that they were trying to bring back. It's not as if this was just a nothing 1 year type of thing. Like Josh Jacobs, for instance, was in a different spot where there was really no offer until the day or two before July 17th and that deadline. So realistically, is he part of your future? With Saquon, they very much envision him being that. So, you know, I think Derrick Henry is an interesting one that I'm sure we'll be, you know, monitoring here. He didn't practice yesterday, which sent off a flurry of text messages
Brian
of what
Burns
exactly is going on.
Practicing today in Carolina.
Burns, that one would surprise me if the Panthers trade him. Not impossible. They had a massive offer on the table from the Rams last year.
And said no.
They turned down. He also wants to get paid a lot of money. So they're going to have decisions to make, but they view him as a building block piece. And unless it is the type of offer that they had last year from the Rams, which was
right.
two first-round picks, two future ones, and more, I don't envision him going anywhere.
Well, I mean, Derrick Henry as well. I mean, if Kevin Byard, again, we were with the Titans in London with NFL Network calling that game, and, you know, you got no sense at all that this team thought they were on the brink of maybe packing it in at all. Obviously, they were 2-3. They wound up being 2-4 with that loss. Byard was Mr. Tennessee, you know, five-time captain. He was talking about, because we asked him about his leadership role, and he's the guy that, you know, rookies were going to for, hey, is there a good chef in town? Is there a good body work person in town? Is there a good anything in town? He was kind of the concierge and leader of that locker room. And for them to trade him away is a significant sign in my mind. You're like, he wasn't part of their plans. Henry's going to be 30 in January.
And his contract's up.
Right. So what do you think? I mean, is this finally possibly the moment where they part ways with Henry?
Who would
be the taker?
There have been a bunch of teams that have been poking around on running backs throughout the course of recent months here. I mean, I think that it's obvious, you know, a team like the Ravens that's lost a bunch of backs would be a logical potential fit. Miami has taken some hits at that position, though I don't think Derrick Henry, his running style necessarily is right. The exact right fit. I mean, that's the thing you got to remember with a Derrick Henry, who is he's like a ball dominant NBA player, right? Where if you were going to bring in Derrick Henry, you need to run his style of offense. You need to get him the ball a lot. You're not going to just run, you know, the Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay style of offense with that player. It's got to be downhill, power running, and you better be prepared to run a certain style. That's a hard thing to do midstream. Having said that, he's a pretty unique player. And positionally, running back is one of the easier positions to plug and play because there's only so many running plays. Wide receiver, obviously quarterback is going to be harder than anything, but wide receiver is one of the hardest ones too because a million different routes, there's all kinds of different concepts, getting the rhythm and timing and tempo with the quarterback. Running back, like, okay, we're going to run zone right, zone left, inside zone.
Sure.
We're going to run power, we're going to run gap. Like, there's not that much that you really have to do. So is it possible? Yeah, it's possible, and that's one of the names certainly to monitor here.
What about D-Hop?
That one I have not heard as much.
Okay.
Again, certainly possible. Anytime you've got players who are older players, if you're 28, 29, 30, and you're either on a one-year contract or you're in a contract, you're in Byard's case, he was essentially in a contract year because he had a big number in 2024, took a pay cut this season, probably wasn't going to be back with the team. Those are the guys who most often profile as the players who get traded this time of year because the price isn't going to be that high. Teams are getting like a one-year rental type situation, you know, a half-year rental type situation. You know, you have those outliers, though, which are like the Christian McCaffrey deal, where a very unique opportunity for a guy who's still young, has had some injury issues, but when he's on the field, he's really, really good. Those ones are harder because of the level of capital that's involved in the trade. Could something along those lines happen? It's certainly possible, but I would not say that people within the league are anticipating that level of blockbuster right now.
Let me give you one more wide receiver name here. Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, NFL Media Group here on the Rich Eisen Show in his usual Friday spot. Kind enough to be here in person this time around. And clearly, if they fall to 3-5, that might be a situation to make this more likely or possible. What about Davante Adams with the Raiders? Is that just a non-starter? What do you think here?
I would say this on Davante Adams. He has made abundantly clear publicly his frustration with the offense. There are reasons to be frustrated with a Raiders offense that's averaging 16 points per game when you've got Davante Adams and you have Josh Jacobs in the backfield. You have Hunter Renfrow, who's really not playing at all, and he's been the subject of trade talks for a while now. You have to ask yourself, if you're the Raiders and you trade Davante Adams, what is your end goal? Because essentially then you're saying, we're finished for 2023. After you already in 2022 went 7-10, coming off a 2021 playoff season, you're a head coach in Josh McDaniels, who I think it's fair to say there's some level of pressure right now to get this thing turned the right direction. If you trade a Hall of Fame caliber receiver right now, that's going to be a difficult one to explain to your fan base, to your locker room, probably most important, your owner, in terms of what exactly is the plan here.
Well, you have to clear it with Mark Davis, don't you think? I mean,
if you're Mark Davis, if somebody wants to trade Adams,
of course you don't want to trade him. Why would anybody want to trade this guy? And the question is, though, is what, and I'm slated to speak with him later on Zoom for Westwood One's Monday Night Football coverage later on today, and I can't.
Are you asking me if you're going to be able to run that interview?
No, that's not what I'm. That's not what I'm asking about. I'm just mentioning that because I'm excited to talk with him because I think the world of him. I think he is A++. I think he's going to have a jacket. He's going to have a bust. He's going to have a ring. He's going to all that stuff. The question is the championship ring. That's the question. And why would you want to trade him? You don't want to trade him. But if it's not working out, and he's not happy about the way it is working out, then you should do your due diligence and get him to a spot where he's happy, where he can get that championship ring, and somebody would be able, you know, to make it worth your while, like a Godfather offer.
That is precisely the conundrum, because the Raiders have gotten calls about Davante Adams, among others.
I'd call
for him. To this point,
yeah,
they have not been willing to move him, and they've made clear to Davante Adams that they are not going to trade him. We still have 4 days till the trade deadline. The Raiders are in a really unique spot. Remember, that's the Monday night game.
Yeah.
The trade deadline
for Eastern
comes about 15 hours after they're going to be walking off the field.
Yeah.
It comes up really fast. So you're talking about, you know, instantaneous types of decisions. Obviously, there have been a lot of discussions, like every team has, about, okay, what are the different possibilities here?
Yes.
But everybody else plays Sunday. So then you've got, okay, you've at least got the day to make calls and things. It's harder for the Raiders to say, well, this game's going to be our guide, because they're going to wake up the next morning. It's going to be like, we got to do something now if we're going to do it at all. To this point, they've had no willingness, no interest in trading Davante Adams. Could potentially things evolve in the coming days here? I don't think you can rule anything out.
Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's take a break and we'll finish up this show with Tom and everything else going on in the NFL with some injuries. Brockman's already scouring the waiver wire of his fantasy league to give names to Tom to ask. And TJ, if you've got Tom's attention, you want to give him some questions about your fantasy team?
I like to do it offline so my teammate, my guys in my league don't hear.
That's TJ. There's no I in TJ.
Millions of listeners and thousands of five-star reviews rave about the hit podcast series In the Red Clay, the unbelievable story of Billy Sunday Burt, the most dangerous man in Georgia history.
He was a whiskey man, bank robber, hit man. He was a murderer. He's also my father.
Seasons 1 and 2 are available to binge right now, and bonus episodes are coming soon. Imperative Entertainment presents In the Red Clay. Get the podcast wherever you listen.
Back here on our show, the Rich Eisen Show, live on the Roku channel.
Live.
Live.
We're live.
We're doing it live.
Right now.
And look
live.
Who's sitting right here. By the way, I think our eyesight is right on line.
Hold on. No, look at this monitor right here.
Oh, it's an optical
My
illusion.
My eyes are below your chin.
It's an optical illusion.
No.
Two dimensions. In 3D, I feel like I'm looking right at you.
Just lower the chair. There. Isn't that, I think that's more. Now you look like a child of Benihana.
You look like.
Which, by the way,
big.
I'd love to be.
Yeah.
Benihana.
Benihana's great.
My kids love it.
I might have to go today.
I love.
Are you really?
Maybe. Now you just put the idea in my head.
That's great.
I get Benihana to go, and I told these guys once you were on vacation. I didn't
to go.
Yeah, Ben Lyons was hosting, and him and Brian.
Benihana to go. Like, what are we doing?
What are you doing?
Because if you're going to Benihana,
is to go.
Studio
Benihana to go?
Yeah, because if I go by myself, I just want my food. I don't want the pomp and circumstance.
The only reason
why
to get Benihana to go is if you could get the setup and the chef to come with you, because, you know, the whole business.
Yeah, that's fine, but
you flip it up and then put it in a pocket.
I just want to eat lunch,
man. In the hat.
I don't want
to,
like.
So you're the guy that skips out on going to the Broadway show to buy the soundtrack.
There you go.
Well, I mean,
that's not a bad analogy. By the way, back in the day, I never thought, what's in that guy's pocket? Like, let me eat something.
Shrimp tails.
No, I know that, but then, like. Would you ever eat anything out of anybody's pocket anymore?
No. Well, I mean, you're asking a man who ate a PB&J sandwich with a piece of hat in
it. Well, it's because he had to.
You know, he would.
That was your team's fault.
Nobody no, told it's you your fault bet, to take
it
any.
It was the Cowboys' fault that
any
year.
Any bait set by McLovin, it's your fault for taking. You know that.
Cowboys blew it.
So, yes, Tom, he would eat something out of somebody's pocket.
Got it.
Honestly, right. Some of the stuff McLovin tweets, even Albert Breer's like, that's too far. Wow. Let's be factual.
Wow.
All right. Stream the NFL on Westwood One for free. Sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, you can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on your Westwood One affiliate station's digital platforms. Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner, and me all season long for free. And get in the zone with AutoZone. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help you find a fix for free. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Tom Pelissero still here, which Tommy we P. love, which we love.
Love being here.
All right. So, Kyler Murray has no injury designation. And so I feel like this is like a few good men. You know, if Santiago was ordered not to be touched, then...
Why does he be transferred off the base?
I saw that movie after my segment with you guys, too.
Why does he need to be transferred off the base? So if he has no injury designation... Are we going to see him Sunday or what?
We'll see what they actually list him as. My guess is they list him as questionable. The final injury report will come out today.
Okay.
I mean, he's very close is what I've been told. He's very close. They're saying he has no physical restrictions. Jonathan Gannon was talking about how good he's looked in practice.
Yeah.
The question is just, is he going to be functioning at a high enough level? It's a lot of rust that you're going out there with. It's a new system.
The Ravens
are
in town.
You'd like to continue to build more reps. You would also be thinking, too, how are they dividing reps in practice between him and Josh Dobbs? Is he getting the full first-team reps he normally would? You would anticipate not, unless they've managed to keep this abundantly quiet, and he's actually starting this week. So there's a lot of different moving parts. I would say this. There was a sense in the league, going back to the offseason, that we were not going to see Kyler Murray all year. That whether it was either the Cardinals' decision or whether it was Kyler Murray's decision of just, hey, this team sucks. I don't want to be out there.
Right.
Yet here we are. It's not in the end of October, and we are on the precipice of seeing Kyler Murray on the field. My understanding is the Cardinals want to get a true evaluation here. It's about Kyler for them. Obviously, it's about Kyler for the rest of the league. One way or another, you're hoping that he plays really well, and either he's your franchise quarterback or you can get something really good in a league where there's not enough quarterbacks, and you're probably going to have a really high draft pick here. Everything I've heard, for all the stuff that's been said about Kyler, and there's plenty of fair criticism of Kyler in terms of questioning just kind of the overall approach and everything. It goes back to when he was at Oklahoma and just his personality and the way that some teams took that in terms of, can we see this guy being a franchise quarterback?
Yeah.
But everything I have heard from Arizona going all the way back to the offseason, back to training camp, has been A+ on Kyler in terms of, even though he knew he wasn't playing, he's in every meeting, he's engaged, he's learning. So maybe it's him and Jonathan Gannon. They got a little bit of, I think, some similarities in their personalities. You know, maybe that's a combination that's good for Kyler. Let's see. I'm fascinated to see. Drew Petsing, you know, with a lot of challenges, including the quarterback who got there like a week before the season, has been pretty, you know, done a pretty good job with that offense. And Gannon, for a team that knows they're overmatched, has done a really good job of getting those guys at least to go out there and play hard every week.
Well, listen, if you had told anybody back in late August that the Cardinals would be 1-6 going into week 8, it would be because Jonathan Gannon is totally lost based on, you know, the way the videos came out of Arizona, the way he was talking to Rondale Moore, and then are you taking the bus, are you taking the yourself, you drive, all of that stuff would be just like, what is Jonathan Gannon doing? He's lost. The team doesn't respect him. They're not picking up what he's selling, and they are 1-6, but it's the exact opposite. They've been in every game. They've been dynamic. Josh Dobbs being brought in, that's a clear sign that they're tanking. Now they're 1-6. They're bringing Buda Baker and Kyler Murray back. I couldn't have been more wrong about the Arizona Cardinals, with the exception of their record, which is what I assumed they would be based on everything else that they've put out there between, you know, February and August.
You can see, like, go back to, you know, let's say the Urban Meyer year in Jacksonville. And there was a lot of other things going on there, obviously. But you would watch their games and you would go, oh, my God, this is awful.
Right.
Like, this is unwatchable. They were horrible on offense. You know, it didn't look like guys always were playing hard. You watch the Cardinals, and even though they're 1-6, every game you're like, they're in this.
No doubt.
They've got a shot here.
Dobbs has been fun to watch. He's good.
Him and Petsing were together in Cleveland. They had a really good relationship. That's part of why they made the trade. You know, Colt McCoy didn't have a very good camp. Clayton Toon, maybe he's a guy down the line. He's just not ready at this point. So it was, okay, let's go out and get a guy who at least knows the system, can plug and play quickly. Dobbs is like one of the best dudes in the NFL, too. So everybody immediately kind of rallies around him. And I mean, they got a few veterans on that team. They got their challenges. Zach Ertz just went on IR. James Conner's on IR. But week in, week out, you watch them, and you don't know the names on the back of the jerseys, but you watch the team, and you go, like, these guys are at least giving it their all here.
And so Brock Purdy gets concussed at the end of the Monday night game. It looks like it's going to be Sam Darnold. Is there some unwritten change, unannounced change, as to the way the NFL is handling concussions, where you get concussed in 1 week, you are out for the next week? There's still a protocol to go through, but there does appear to be no chance of any player coming back the very next week after they've been put into the concussion protocol.
There have been a few this year of guys who have been in the protocol and come back and played the following week. It's definitely a lower percentage than we've probably seen in years past. Brock Purdy was limited yesterday, which means he's already, I believe, at the fourth step in the concussion protocol. So there's a chance. We'll see what he does today. You need to get him to full participation, then get him out there. I think that more than anything, we sit back and look at this, and a lot of teams sit back and look at this and say, is it worth it? Is it worth it to put the guy out the week after? Because of, you know, Tua last year, even though obviously the Dolphins, there was an investigation and it was a back injury and all those things. But we on the outside look at it and just say it put him, you know, he ended up in a difficult position.
Yeah, say the least.
You have, you know, other situations. Kenny Pickett last year had two concussions in a very short period of time. I think that more than anything, it's, there is a protocol. Everything has to go. An independent neurologist has to clear you. This is not team doctors willy-nilly making competitive decisions. But at some point, it's okay, yeah, you're cleared, but do we really want to do it? Because if you get two concussions in a very short period of time, 6-7 days apart, we know you're missing a month. At that point now, you are missing a long period of time, and it can be dangerous for you. Again, I would fully anticipate Brock Purdy is going to, you know, push to do everything that he can. The doctors are going to do the right thing, and the 49ers are going to have to make decisions. And if Brock Purdy ends up out there on Sunday against the Bengals, which, as you mentioned, would be a relatively rare occurrence here, it's because every single box got checked. With Purdy, too, it's a shorter week because it happened on Monday Night Football. You go back and you watch the play where, my understanding is, it was believed to happen on the first of the two consecutive sneaks.
Right.
He had the overhead angle. Jordan Hicks comes in.
Oh, my goodness.
Not a, I don't think it's a dirty play. It's just the reality of, we talk about the tush, push, brotherly shove, whatever. It's like, well, right. There's times, though, where that can be a dangerous play. And he gets, you know, torpedoed in the head.
Yeah.
Throws two interceptions after that. Uncharacteristic mistakes. Doesn't feel well after the game. You know, and ends up in the concussion protocol. You look at those types of situations, and I think that they're being evaluated as thoroughly as they ever have. And you just want to make sure that you're not putting somebody in a position where, you know, forget about the competitive stuff because you are losing the guy. If a guy has two concussions back to back, that's a month. Generally speaking, that's an IR type situation. But it's also long-term health of Brock Purdy, long-term stability at the quarterback position. Is it the right thing for us to put him out there? Those will all be conversations they have this week. And the conversations don't even have a chance to take place if the independent doctor doesn't clear.
Right. And this is why you traded Trey Lance away. Because you believed Darnold is the man of the moment in these types of situations.
You beat him out.
And I fully expect to see Darnold out there, and I expect him to perform well. That's what my expectation level is, because that's just the way, you know, I think things work there in San Francisco.
Well, and if Sam Darnold comes out and they beat the Bengals with him at quarterback,
he's going there, Chris.
You're
going
to have your overreaction segment on Monday. I watched the show. You're going to have a lot of fun with that.
I already have it typed out. It's already in my document.
This guy over
first
there.
One. Ready Listen, to go.
Brock Purdy, right. Brock Purdy's played at, you know, an off-the-charts level. Forget being the Mr. Irrelevant last pick in the draft. Just as a quarterback, he's played unbelievably. So it's not fair to him to say you miss a game.
Of course.
And now we should be talking about someone else. But don't think that somewhere in the back of his head, there's not a, hey, I got to do everything to be out there. Because it's just like, you know, for years with Brett Favre. In Green Bay. He got the job because Don Majkowski got knocked out of a game in 1992. And Favre, who had been at the Falcons in 91, he goes to Green Bay. It's week four, I think. And nobody's, you know, thinking about him, even though they gave up a first-round pick to get him. And Majkowski gets knocked out. Favre goes in. Everybody talked about Favre played, what, 270 consecutive games, whatever it was. One of the driving forces through his entire career was, if I miss this game, somebody might do the same thing to me. If I miss a snap, somebody else is coming in. And that's where he played with a broken thumb, and he played through all kinds of different ailments. What happens in 2007, they're in the midst of a run to the NFC Championship game. He gets knocked out of a game in Dallas, Aaron Rodgers comes in, looks pretty good for 2.5 quarters, and they moved on from him after the season. There is something to it. This isn't an ankle. This isn't an ACL.
Right.
Brock Purdy can't push through this. But the psychology of these guys, especially the ones who didn't have an opportunity and they got it for a reason, in Brock Purdy's case, because multiple quarterbacks got hurt,
right.
You know those guys want to find a way to be on the field. It's just the reality of how the NFL works.
And Burrow is 100% in the 90 seconds we have left. He says he's 100%.
It certainly seems like it. I mean, that was the best he had looked and the best he said he's felt
into
the bye. A calf's not going to heal with 1 week off. You really need a month. But he tried it for a month in camp and then did it again. So it's going to be a thing that he's going to be going through the rest of the season. But he is in better shape than he's been throughout this entire time.
Fantastic. All right. So are you in studio on Sunday, too?
I'll be with you.
All right.
Just saw Andy Gregg. Sounds like he's got some fun stuff planned. So
okay.
We got some ideas.
Yeah, apparently it's like a 20th anniversary celebration because we're not on the air the actual 20th anniversary celebration weekend. It's the Dolphins and Chiefs.
And somehow I'm here. I've been here for, seven of them? So I'm excited.
Fantastic. All right, anything else? We got about 90, 50 seconds to go. Anybody
bench
else?
Bench all of them, Brockman.
Questionable
next.
On your team, you know?
If you're going to take the wind out of my sails, I mean...
Don't blame me.
Jeez. What do you got?
Last thing, too. I guess we were saying, would there ever be a penalty on a Hail Mary? Ever?
I mean, you saw the two guys who were wrapping up the receiver last night, right? Everyone's like, oh, the ball hit the ground because two guys are pulling down one. If Godwin turns around, the Bucs are winning that game.
Dude, and we're having a totally different conversation today.
Right.
Totally different. I guess then, we got 20 seconds. Are you concerned about Josh Allen's shoulder?
He's been dealing with it for a couple of weeks. Right. You know, he banged it up, but he's taken most of the reps. I mean, it's the quarterback's throwing shoulder. And it's a guy who likes to run. So it's something we'll be monitoring for sure.
All right, Tom Pelissero here. Miles Garrett, thank him. Tom sticking around after class for one more Roku segment. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Every Monday, Rich Eisen and Chris Brockman react to what's happening in the world of football on Overreaction Monday.
Dolphins, Final Four AFC team.
Oh, that is not an overreaction at all. I'm with you.
You're in.
I am in. The other three Final Four teams, if you ask me to call my shot, this is the Overreaction Monday podcast.
Call your shot.
Entertainment purposes only, unless I'm right.
Yeah.
Chiefs, Dolphins, Bills, Ravens.
Ravens.
Final Four.
Overreaction Monday, the podcast, wherever you listen.